Good evening, everyone. Ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll just be reading two verses from the chapter. Verse 1 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's just start open in prayer. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that we have the freedom to gather together, and Lord, to open your word, Lord, and to hear what you would have for us tonight. Father, we are also grateful that you are a God that speaks to us, Lord, that you're a God that we can fellowship with, Lord, that you are a God that helps us grow in our understanding of you, Lord, that you bring us under conviction, Father, we thank you that you do that in love, and Lord, a love that we so often don't understand. And Father, we know that we are the recipients, and Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we come before you humbly tonight, asking, Lord, that you may speak to us, Lord, that we may be willing to listen to your word. Pray, Lord, that you may use me, Father, for the message that you have for your people. In your name, amen. So I'm going to do what seems like most of us are doing that are part of the baby preachers, is I'm going to steer away from the series that I'm doing on the names of Jehovah. And so I wanted to talk about this verse that came across as I was just reading, doing some reading when we went away with the boys for camping. And so just wanted to kind of touch on this, and kind of really came through as I was praying to share with you tonight. So I just wanted to spend a bit of time looking at faith and I guess what it is and the role it plays in our lives. It will be brief, the introduction, because I think faith in itself is probably another series that I'm not going to start, or I think I probably need a bit more scriptural understanding to do that, to go into a deep dive. But I wanted to have a brief look at what faith is, and then go to verse 6 and look at its how vital it is in our ability to please him, in our ability to please God. You know, ultimately, we know that our purpose here is to glorify God, and faith plays a key part in that. Faith is the foundation of our assurance. If you want to give it a definition for the message, it's a fundamental belief that God is God and he has done what he says he has done. Now this chapter, referred to as a faith chapter, is a chapter that looks at the results of faith in the life of believers. Now verse 1 explains two instances of faith, or two aspects in which faith plays a key role. First thing is the things hoped for, and then also the things not seen. First, we see the things hoped for. It is the substance of things hoped for. You know, the word gives the image that it's the foundation on which we build. So the substance is the foundation on which we build. Faith is the foundation on which we build the things that we hope for, those things which are before us that we can't see yet. They're in the future. You know, when what we hope for is being challenged, it is faith that holds it up. You know, the same word substance is translated to confidence in chapter 3, verse 14 of Hebrews. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." So it is what we are to hold to, is confidence. Faith is what gives you confidence in that which you cannot see. says that it is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence or proof. It is what is used for conviction. Nathan touched on this verse early this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Evidence and reproof are the same root word there. So evidence and reproof. So the context of this verse is that the word of God is able to bring our actions under conviction, shed light on what is wrong. So in the same way, faith needs to be the evidence that confirms that which we cannot see. It is what we use as evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 gives a perfect example of this in practice. Faith is our fundamental belief that God is God and he has done what he said he has done. And it is the ultimate evidence that he created the world. He created the world. The word says God created the world in 6 days, and therefore we're able to use that as the foundation of our belief. Now, while we see now that evidence only points back to what the word has revealed, the chapter outlines a number of faithful men and women that exercise their faith in their walk with the Lord, both in things we hope for and in things we have not seen. So we're talking about the faith. So Ben brought up this topic about faith. You know, while there's so much evidence that points to creation, and we spoke about this at Sky, there's so much evidence. We can't rely on the evidence to point to God. The ultimate evidence really is the Word of God, because that is where our faith is built. So coming back to the chapter really talks about or uses a number of people, men and women, as examples of people who have exercised their faith. You see about Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab, all outlined in this chapter, men and women who have built on their faith or built on their hope and remained true to the things not seen. Faith, we see, begins in the life of a Christian at the point of salvation. And it is not a simple faith, but a faith that brings a change in the heart. Faith in Christ and his work is the evidence able to convict and proves to us that the Lord's work is able to free us of that conviction. Faith is also to continue in the life of the Christian. So it is not done there, it is to continue. David Cloud calls that the daily serving faith. It's a constant feeding on the word to remain true to the faith. In Galatians 2, we see Paul rebuking Peter for behavior he calls not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. There were Jewish customs that were being mixed with the true gospel, so the church needed to be exhorted and rebuked for not following the truth. They had moved away or allowed other things to influence their walk, not holding true to their faith. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now the world's pull is strong. How are we to fight against the conforming of this world? But by strengthening our faith. By strengthening our faith in Christ. Feeding that faith. Making it stronger. A few of us were talking on the weekend about some videos that we saw of boats trying to get through a rough inlet in Miami. And it really is only boats that have the right equipment that get through the rough sea. If the swell is up and the wind's going the wrong way, the boat's either going back or it's going into the rocks. And so the exhortation from Romans 12 to not be conformed to this world is like a strong pull in a rough inlet. Unless you have equipped yourself with the right equipment, you're not going to make it. Continuing on in faith, strengthening ourselves, is the only way to pull through. What is our source of faith? Romans 10:17, familiar verses, says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God is our input. The word of God is our source of faith building. Praise God that it is not a blind faith. We compare that to the unsaved. That really reveals itself when they're unwell and they're looking death in the face, where we've heard that I'm at peace with dying, or at least they're in rest. What blind faith? What are they basing that on other than their own human reasoning? It is a blind faith, not what the Word of God offers us. Our faith is that God is a self-existent God who has done what he has said he has done. Faith is the foundation of our assurance. It is a proof of that which is to come and is the evidence to prove that which has been done. And it is also that which pleases him. In Hebrews, in verse 6 here of this chapter, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." It is impossible to please him without faith. We are without strength. We are disabled in our ability to please him without faith. Now, first of all, we know that there's faith in Christ at the point of salvation. And I will challenge anyone here tonight or listening online that if you have not put your faith in Christ, John chapter 3 says that you are condemned already. Come to Christ, put your faith in him, because the work is done. But for those who have put their faith in Christ at salvation, what about our walk with the Lord? Romans 8 verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Enoch pleased God. Enoch demonstrated faith. Noah, in verse 7 of chapter 11 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah demonstrated the faith in what was hoped for and what was going to happen, which he had not seen before. Noah was not powerless. He clearly demonstrated his strength, his ability to please the Lord. And then there's a second part of verse 6. Tells us that faith is required when we are to come to him believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So these are the two things that I'd like to look at tonight. I'm sorry, preachers, I tried to put it into 3 points, but I couldn't fit in, so we got two. So first, believing that he is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you want to turn to James chapter 2, verse 14. So James chapter 2, verse 14, read to verse 19. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Believing that God is the all-encompassing is a real James 2 type of faith. Now, this faith is one that is demonstrated by our works, not by our words. We think about what God is, or who God is. We see that God is immutable. He never changes. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God is self-sufficient. John 5, 26, God is omniscient. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God is omnipresent. Psalm 139, God is wise. In Romans 11, 33, God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7, 9, God is good. Psalm 34, 8, God is just. Deuteronomy 32, 4, God is merciful. Romans 9, 15 to 16, God is gracious. Psalm 145, 8, God is loving. 1 John 4:7, God is holy. Revelation 4:8, God is glorious. Habakkuk 3:4, God is patient. 2 Peter 3:9, God is a perfect provider. James 1:17. Another series. That was a long one, that one. God has described himself clearly in his word. You know, we cannot create an image of God. He has described himself in his word. There is no need to interpret who he is, and we cannot adapt his character to being that which is appropriate for us. But do our actions demonstrate faith in the God that is described in the word? You know, there is the application here now. We read the word and we believe them, but do we show belief through our actions? It's not just lip service, but do we allow Christ the control? Do we allow him the opportunity to prove himself and his character through us? Well, what is our response when he does? You know, I will pray that most of us would give an amen when we read that God is just. We would all agree that God is just if someone says it to us. What about when he allows situations that don't seem fair? What do our actions say? Do we let out a praise God when we say that God is perfect, yet our trust diminishes when painful trials come? Now, why is this happening? But God is perfect. We know that God is omniscient. He knows all things, and that God is holy. But we refuse to acknowledge and confess sin in our lives that breaks fellowship with him. We are refusing to acknowledge something that he already knows. In verse 19, a familiar verse, again, simply believing or knowing that something is true is not what pleases God. It is not faith in action. I read in the last Australian census, it noted that there was 52% of those that answered the question of religious affiliation marked down Christian. So 52% in the last census, that's about 12 million people. And there was another 2 million people that marked down another form of religion. And I would say to you that looking at the state of our churches, there's not many of the 12 million that have gone past the believing. They probably haven't gone past that first step that there is a God. I heard today that someone described going to church as going to work. And they were a pastor of the church, which demonstrates the state of the church is at the moment. You know, there is a head knowledge, but that's it. It is impossible to please God without faith. And brethren, it takes faith to believe that he is. It takes faith to apply a James chapter 2 approach to believing through our actions that God is our Lord. Believing that he is a rewarder. The second part, further on in verse 6, it says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, as we mentioned before, is really there to demonstrate the ability that faith has to keep us from turning back to what we've turned away from. Matthew Henry writes that faith has been the means of perseverance through many instances of history and is still true for believers today. As you can read later in the verse, there's people encouraging those of times past and the critical role faith played in their lives. In verse 32 of chapter 10 in Hebrews, we see that the people were suffering persecution, suffering difficult times because of their faith. It takes faith to look ahead and to believe that God is a rewarder for those who seek him, those who continue on. The word rewarder is the same meaning as remunerator, or an employee paying staff, or a company earning revenue. It is to create that image or that expectation surrounding the reward we are to receive once a work is completed. So it is the sense of what I'm doing is worth the reward. What I'm putting myself through here is worth it. There is a reward at the end of this, but will it be valuable to me? And I thought about this and I thought, well, I think the average CPI as in, over the last 5 years for Australia has been about 1.6. Now, companies need to plan for growth at least 1.6, otherwise they're going backwards. Inflation is growing 1.6% a year on average. If companies aren't planning to grow by 1.6% every year, they're going backwards. We are living in a world that is getting worse. We are seeing policies being introduced that are completely against Scripture. What was once called wrong is now called right, and what was once right is now wrong. But it's not only the world. Now, we saw this morning that the progress of deception within the church, how the enemy has successfully disguised error as truth. We are seeing apostate teaching entering our churches, and God's image is being watered down. The percentage of decline of our nation, once labelled Christian, is constantly increasing. We need to be growing at a faster rate than the decline, seeking that reward, separating ourselves further and further away from this world. You know, if you are allowing the state of righteousness of this world to determine your walk with the Lord, as opposed to the Word determining your growth, there is trouble ahead. And of course, seeing God as a rewarder assumes that what is being offered is valuable to us. Now, the obvious question is, do we see what the Lord is offering as valuable? Do we value the reward? Do we see a closer walk with the Lord as a reward? Proverbs 11:18 says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." It's a sure reward, a firm and reliable reward. It is a stable and reliable firm reward. It is a reward that increaseth in value. It's more of Christ, it's more fellowship, it's more of his love, it's more input of Christ's attributes in our life. Psalm 105, verse 2 and 4 says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye all of his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." And praise God that we can, that seek the Lord, and it's not pain or it's not toil that we have to do it. We're able to seek the Lord and rejoice in that quest. You know, as we seek him and we find him, how can our hearts not rejoice? You know, we're experiencing a God that is all that we are not. When we find that which we need, how can we not but be happy? It is a joy that comes when we seek with the right attitude. And that is the condition. That is a condition. Diligence. The verse says that we are to seek him diligently. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." The seeking, the pursuit, the searching out of Christ must be a diligent one. Now, this really is a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, I feel like this is an area that Satan really attacks in terms of deception. The perception of what is all your heart? What does that mean to you? Because this is something only you and God can really know. You know, for sure. Diligence is an attitude of the heart. We are to search with all our heart. And there are really only two people who know when your heart is 100% engaged in a search. You and the Lord. We can lie to ourselves, or we can be deceived, that we are diligently committed to the search. But the indicator, the output, the reading is a fruit in our lives. God promises that we will find him if we seek him with all our heart. And we look before that, we know that he is holy, we know that he's not lying, he's not mistaken. So if he promises that we will find him if we seek him with all our heart, where is the shortfall? Where is the error in the equation? comes down to us. It comes down to all of your heart. Brethren, it is impossible to please God without faith. And it takes faith to see him as a rewarder, and it takes faith to diligently seek him. But what joy can come from a life fully committed to seeking with hope, a precious reward of a closer walk that awaits us. That is a reward, a closer walk with the Lord. So we've seen that faith is the fundamental belief that Christ is the Lord and that he has done what he said he has done. Faith is the foundation of things we hope for. It is a proof of that which we have not seen. And faith is what pleases the Lord. Faith is required to know that he is God, not simply through words, but actions. Faith is required to honestly seek him and look for that precious reward. And praise God that it is not a blind faith, for faith cometh by the word, that sure and changeable word of God. Praise God for that. So where is your faith tonight? What is the temperature of it? I'm not talking about faith of getting what you want, believing that you're going to get what you need or what you want, but rather your faith in relation to your ability to please God. Are you showing through your works your belief that he is? Do we diligently seek him? Are we seeing value in his reward? Are your eyes fixed on him because of the hope of his promise in our lives? Now we think about the opposite of that verse. What about those who are not pleasing him? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, I'll just turn there. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another. Sorry, just 12. So we are to take heed. We are to be aware of this danger. It is a danger that we can fall into. So take heed. We are to be perceptive. We need to have the ability to discern an unbelieving heart. Satan is the master deceiver. We must be in his word to keep our guard, as a reminder this morning, the armor of God. Brethren, be aware. Be perceptive. Open your eyes. Stay alert. Our heart, if not equipped correctly, will be taken by the current. If we are letting our spiritual growth be influenced by the complacent world around us, we will lose ground quickly. Verse 13 says that we are to exhort one another. And that's an encouraging and challenging thought, that we are to exhort one another. We are to challenge and encourage one another to stay focused. Verse 18 of chapter 3 says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? The question is asked in the same chapter. So who were not those that did not enter rest? The spiritual rest that we can only find in him. It is those that believe not, those that obeyed not. Disobedience brings unrest. Unbelief brings unrest. Now you think about some of the words that describe unrest. Want, disturbance, pressure, distress, tenseness. I don't know about you, but that kind of describes my disobedient life. We see that Noah walked with the Lord. We read in chapter 6, verse 9, Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. We know that Noah walked with the Lord at a time when the world was so bad that the Lord called on him to build an ark for the coming judgment. I think we live in a world that is so perverted, so sinful, so far from the Lord that really the only reason why it's still here is because of the grace of God and his covenant with man. So we need to strengthen our walk with the Lord. Well, the strengthening of our walk with the Lord should be vitally important to us. But sadly, it's not always. You know, Noah, in the face of persecution, had faith in what was to come and in what he had not seen. And I think how much more should you and I, that have the word of God, the evidence of God's existence and creation, be following him with all our heart. So, brethren, let us be constant in the word, feeding on it so that we may grow, and that through faith we may be able to please him. Amen.